Hello everyone. Pretty rare I've got any time on Friday afternoons, but just so happens this week, little AAA has got a play date, is out. So before I go off and do the family thing all weekend, some people wanted me to make this video where I'm going to be explaining the triple shakedown that Tony Blair and other NGOs have in the current system.
And if you ever mention a word of this to Tony, I stick this up your ass and pull a trigger till the bullets come out your eye.
A lot of people say that it's a struggle to see who really has power in our current system. There's so much obscurity. But I believe that it is not that obscured, and that there's enough information out there to give us a kind of rough map of how it works. Now, I have used one network here, the one involving Blair, but there are a number of other versions of this, which I'll explain. So let's just start, first of all, with the CIA here. Now, it can be the CIA, can be other intelligence services, Five Eyes, all these different kind of security organizations that you see here. And one thing that we know for a fact, given the history of them doing things like this, and given the research that has been done, books like Who Paid the Piper, certain secrets that have come out, etc., etc., is that the CIA and other intelligence services have to find a way of laundering money back through the system. And one of the ways, historically, that the CIA has done this, and there is no reason whatsoever to believe that they don't still do this, is by washing their, funds, how they get those funds. I'm sure people will explain in the comments. They wash their funds through big multi-billion dollar foundations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Ford Foundation, Rockefeller, because those are private institutions who have pretty opaque balance sheets, right? They have to report some things, but it's pretty easy for the intelligence services to just let's pretend, for example, that there was, I don't know, $10 billion in the Ford Foundation that was unaccounted for. I mean, who's going to say, oh, well, this $10 billion came from the CIA rather than the Ford Motor Company, or rather from the endowment left by Henry Ford 100 years ago? So it is actually well known that they do this. So we can start here with the intelligence services. So if you follow the arrow along from the CIA here to one of these big foundations. I've put the Gates Foundation, but many other foundations are available. They are published and disseminated online, who these foundations are, what they spend their money on, how many social causes they are behind. There's a very good book called The Transgender Industrial Complex showing just how many of these foundations were behind a lot of that stuff. So that there's a lot of money that gets slushed through the system via these foundations here. And the most interesting thing is that all of the money that is spent through something like the Gates Foundation is chalked up as charity, philanthropic endeavors, right? So people can say, well, the thing about Bill Gates, he may be a multi-billionaire, but he gives a lot of his money to good causes. To good causes, right? But then you have to see, well, where does that money end up? And if you follow the arrow along, I've got it here landing at the Tony Blair Institute because that is the biggest of all the NGOs. But again, there are many, many other NGOs. And if you go on the Tony Blair Foundation, the Tony Blair Institute website, there is a link, or at least there used to be a link, of all of the partner organizations of the Blair Institute, which is all of the other NGOs. They're all one big network of NGOs. And you know, it'll be a couple of million here for Tone, a couple of million there for some other foundation, some other, you know, non-governmental charity, quote-unquote, organization. So a lot of that money then, you can see it's washed from intelligence services to one of these foundations, then over to one of the big NGOs like the Tony Blair Institute, okay? And how can I put this? The money that ends up in the Gates Foundation isn't just from the CIA, of course. Some of it will be from, you know, Bill Gates himself. You know, there'll be another kind of big chunk of money that comes from Microsoft directly, et cetera, et cetera. And because they're private, they don't always have to declare exactly where all this money is coming from. You know, they produce annual reports, but much of it is opaque. It's just like, oh yeah, we've got this much money on the books, and here's who we gave it to. Okay, so they declare who they give it to, but you don't see all of the in arrows necessarily, or you'll just say, yeah, private donation, you know, $10 million or whatever. Okay. It's the Academic Agency Summer Sale. Use the promo code SCORCHER. 25% off all courses. SCORCHER. Get it now. SCORCHER. 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 Promo code SCORCHER. 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 Buy it now. And then, with all of the money sloshing around these NGOs, what does an organization like the Tony Blair Institute, which has a presence in over 150 nations and over 1,000 employees worldwide now, you know, what's it for? Well, what they do is they come up with white papers, they come up with policy proposals, which offer governments, like the UK government in this example, off-the-shelf solutions. Off-the-shelf solutions. Okay, they'll be like, oh, I see you're having a problem with illegal immigration, for example. Have you considered digital ID as a solution? Have you considered, UK government, the fact that we need to get with the program and embrace artificial intelligence? We need to embrace facial recognition technology. We need to digitize the economy. We need to get on board with the fourth industrial revolution. We need to adopt private-public partnerships between big corporations and the government in order to come up with the solutions for the complex modern world. Okay, that's the pitch from the Tony Blair Institute and others like the Tony Blair Institute. I want to stress here, I'm using Gates and Blair as examples, but there are other players like this in the system. Okay, so that is Tone's pitch into the UK government. And if you watch these people for long enough, what starts as a white paper proposal at the Tony Blair Institute ends up as government policy 5-6 months, a year later. These things are coming down the pike. They sell the UK government, and the UK government's like, yes, this is a good idea. So, how are we going to implement this plan, Tone? And then Blair says, well, the first thing you're going to need is consultants. You're going to need expertise, because the thing about politicians is they don't have the technical know-how. They don't have the expertise to know how to do any of this stuff. But I know some people who do know. So you can get me on board. So this is the arrow coming from the UK government back to Blair. You can get me on board, or friends of mine, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, as consultants to explain how you're going to do this, government. You can second this contract to us, and we'll sort out the details. And then, lo and behold, Tone and his friends, or whoever it is that gets appointed as the government, the quote-unquote independent government expert to oversee a project like this. Oh, we think it's a good idea to get a big contract with a firm like Microsoft. Surprise, surprise. So, you know, the money starts at the Gates Foundation into Blair, through the government, back to Blair, and then, oh, lo and behold, now there's a big government contract between, let's say, the NHS and Microsoft, or the NHS and Oracle, or, I don't know, the British Police Service, and insert big tech firm here. Okay, I hope you understand how this works, okay? And also, it can work the other way. I.e., the government give a big contract to Microsoft, and Microsoft say, we need some technical expert, some interface, some project lead, some point of contact that is a go-between between the world of, you know, the corporate world of Microsoft and Westminster. Somebody to interface between business and politics. Hey, Tone, do you know anyone who can help? Oh, yeah, I think I've got, you know, at least 15 guys who can help with that project. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So you can see there are a number of pay. I mean, Tone is getting paid, you know, 2-3 times here. Okay, I've called it the triple lockdown, but there could actually be several more hidden paydays as this kind of gravy train goes back and forth. Okay. And, you know, it doesn't just have to be digital ID or AI. It can be climate change, right? It can be sustainable technology solutions. It can be, I mean, you name the issue, and these guys are selling solutions as a service. Solutions as a service to government. And there's lucrative contracts at every stage of the way, consultancies, advisorships, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you have a look at who's on the books at somewhere like the Tony Blair Institute, it is all people who have top level elite backgrounds, either in security, cybersecurity, technology, government. I mean, you name it. It is public health is a huge one. You know, back in the days of COVID, the pandemic, this whole network was involved in the delivery of the vaccine rollout. As I'm sure people who followed that will remember, Bill Gates and Blair were all over the pandemic in this kind of, they would see it as a virtuous circle, right? The language they would use, this is a virtuous circle of expertise and governance, okay? And then, amazingly, the money, because Microsoft is a big American corporation that has to pay taxes and so on and so forth, some amount of that money will actually end up back paying for the intelligence services. Some amount of that money will no doubt go back up to the CIA. So there's a hidden arrow back into the US government or the military-industrial complex, okay? And then the other arrow, you see this chap here on the right? This is a generic African leader. This one happens to be the president of Togo, who's got a very, very good relationship with Mr. Blair, as basically every African leader does. Every African leader that's friendly with the West has a good relationship with Blair, because, among other things, Africa is a place that he has a special interest in. And what happens is that somewhere like the UK government has a big foreign aid budget. It's something like 0.7% of GDP. So that's a big pot of money. We're talking billions of pounds, okay? Where is that money spent? Well, it has to be spent on, again, charity and philanthropic methods of helping developing nations. That's what it's for. What does that actually mean? It means that aid is given from the UK taxpayer, from the UK budget, into an African country, into the government of this man here, okay? Well, the government, the UK government, will say, well, listen, this isn't just money for you to just kind of, you know, get high on. This is money for an investment project. This money comes with strings attached, the UK government will say. We expect you to spend this money on digital infrastructure. We expect you to spend this money on public health care. We expect you to spend this money on beefing up the security of your nation. We expect you to spend this money on sustainable development, climate change stuff. We expect you to spend this money on developing vaccines against deadly diseases. And the African dictator will say, well, that's all well and good, UK government, but we don't know how to do that. We're kind of tin pot dictators here in Africa. We don't have the expertise. Do you know anyone who does? Hey, Tone! And then that's another contract for the Tony Blair Institute, and he's got dozens of these with governments all around the world, where he will either be a personal advisor to that guy, personally meeting with them, or he'll have somebody in his team, or it'll be somebody in the wider network, one of the other NGOs, and they'll be like, hey, we're a partner now to the government of Togo, and we recommend that you buy sustainable development solutions, that you adopt this vaccine, that you adopt these digital solutions provided by Microsoft. We will come, the money that the UK government will spend with you, some portion of that will end up back with us. We will advise you to spend it on a big government contract with AstraZeneca, Microsoft, whoever else, and Bob's your uncle. That is the triple shakedown. The triple shakedown. So when people say, oh, it's really difficult to see how power flows in this system, it's really difficult to see who is in control, I don't think it's that difficult at all when you understand some of the mechanisms by which global governance, that's the language they use, is implemented in governments around the world. I've used the UK government here, but there's a version of this for the French government. There's a version of this for the German government. There's a version of this for even the American government. And, you know, in the American government, the numbers are that much bigger. I've used this one because I have a particular fascination with Tony Blair. But there are other people, and you can look in your own time, who essentially do the same role. Other dark lords, if you want to put it that way, who have these sorts of global contacts and these sorts of advisory roles with foreign governments. Now, drive home for the weekend, I just want to mention that, in my opinion, this should be illegal. As much as I love Blair and the Dark Lord and so on, I don't think it should be allowed that the same person should have all of these different relationships in the system, that somebody who's advising the government, as Blair is also responsible for the delivery of a contract that the government enacts as policy that he actually recommended in the first place, and also then is responsible for advising foreign governments on how they spend their money. I mean, this is like the definition of... there's surely a conflict of interest somewhere along the line, okay? And I've always been fascinated how this plays out in broad daylight. And sometimes there's a direct conflict of interest with the British government. For example, Tony Blair was the official advisor of the Albanian government when this country was facing a migrant crisis from Albania. Now who knows what advice, quote unquote, Tony Blair was given the Albanian government? So I don't know. I mean, I guess there's another way of seeing it. Like, from the British point of view, it's like, yeah, but you'd like to have some eyes on the ground there. Maybe Blair was feeding info about the Albanian government back to the British deep state or whatever. But it's still, I mean, I don't know. I get the sense that something is dodgy here. And this is really a huge multi-billion dollar operation that I'm describing here. It's a pretty big machine that we're up against. The people of all of these countries, not just in the West, the entire world is up against this. It's a very, up against a machine too strong, some people might say. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this, and I'll see you soon. Remember, courses at the academic agency available. I'm doing my summer sale. Promo code Scorcher. And get out.